Hey, everybody, welcome to the Art of Relationship Show. As everybody gets ready, I'm going to maybe pause a little bit until viewers start coming on, okay? Welcome to the Art of Relationship Show. It's 8 p.m. in Metro Detroit, New York City time as well. Hopefully, everybody's doing okay. And how many people are sick of winter? And it's only been a short amount of time with winter, right? We're all woohoo ready for spring, but we still got a month and a half to go, at least maybe 2 months here in Michigan. And it's been fairly mild, not too bad. So when people get in the doldrums, right, the doldrums of winter, missing the sunshine, missing all those elements, it gets on our nerves, right? And what else gets on your nerve but relationship problems, relationship topics that, let's face it, I don't want to deal with this, relationship drama. You have issues in your marriage, in your relationship, maybe in your dating life. And that's what the Art of Relationship Show is all about, okay? So everybody that joins in, Swervenish, I hope I got that right. I appreciate you joining in. And as more viewers join in and pay attention going on, we're going to talk about, or I'm going to talk about, a very controversial, a very difficult subject that is devastating to relationships, to marriage, affairs, okay? And this is a huge thing. It has been forever, 21 years, that I specialize in helping couples, helping individuals heal from an affair or a betrayal of some sort or another, okay? And before I jump into this, please share on your timeline, your posts, your heading, whatever you want to, whatever social media platform you're paying attention to or listening to, please share it. I want to help as many people as possible out there. And this is a, like I said, a very difficult subject that a lot of people run into. And there's a lot of myths, and I'm going to talk about the myths. I'm going to talk about the, expectations of healing from an affair and what I run into in my office and what I have through research, through evidence-based aspect to let you know what heals from affair, what is needed, what is in place. And again, it needs to be very specialized to each individual, to each couple, right? And a lot of people look at, oh, if I get cheated, I'm done, I'm all over. And I get that. It's devastating. But a myth is that, you know, an affair destroys a relationship or marriage. It can end it. Let's be honest. I'm honest, as most people know, but it doesn't have to be. Yes, you can heal after an affair and, excuse me, easy for me to say, right? I've been helping couples with this specific area for 21 and a half years now, okay? It's mostly what I specialize. Hey, Macon, I appreciate you. Kumar, what's happening, man? Mohammed, I appreciate you tuning in. And there's a lot of myths and a lot of devastation that goes on. And, you know, a myth about, you know, cheating. Before I get into the three couples of affair and what is needed to heal, it takes a lot of guts, okay? It takes a lot of courage to even reach out and seek help to be able to want to heal and rebuild trust, right? Let's face it. Trust has to be rebuilt or you're going to be miserable. Your partner's going to be miserable, and looking at what is needed specifically to heal from an affair, and it is possible. Absolutely, it is possible. Oop, let me adjust. Whoa, there we go. Let me adjust the phone. I had to get back there. And to be able to look at, sorry, people, I'm playing with the one phone, my phone camera, not my main camera, so it's interfering. But with affairs, okay, it's devastating. It just rocks your world. All the expectations of growing old together, of, you know, playing with the grandkids, raising your kids, retiring together, I'll be dead before I retire, let's be real. Whatever your expectations, they get shattered, right? But that doesn't mean it can't be rebuilt. That doesn't mean it can't be repaired. And in one myth out there, and a lot of people I run into, once a cheater, always a cheater, that is not true, okay? There are people that are habitual cheaters, absolutely. Men, women, they're out there. But those are the low percentages of people out there, okay? Most people, you know, there's an issue that was going on, and we can look at individual issues. We can look at, you know, relationship or marital issues that may be related to the cheating. Again, doesn't excuse or condone it. Or it can be a combination of both individually and relationship dynamics that go in. So looking at, you know, what is needed to heal after an affair or whatever. And the first thing you look at, do you want to? Number one. Number two, what it takes to heal from a betrayal. Okay, let's face it. What is needed to rebuild trust? And not only rebuild trust, that you also look at, most people look at, okay, we rebuild trust, never have to worry about my partner cheating again, that's solidified. But are they staying out of obligation? Are they staying because they feel they have to and to repair, and they're saying they don't want to, okay? Most people that cheat, again, most people, not all, they still love their partner. A lot of people out there on social media, you see it all over the place, everywhere, social media. Well, if they really love you, they wouldn't cheat. That's a myth, okay? I'm telling you, most people, not all, there are some people, they don't love their partner, so therefore they're cheating, they don't care, okay? Most people, they still love their partner. They love their family. They might not be happy in the relationship. They want to feel desired. They want to feel loved. They want to feel appreciated, respected, a priority in their life, right? And all of a sudden they feel like, and I talked about, you know, specifically cheating and what causes it before on other episodes. And, you know, looking at what is needed to heal it, but you can heal that affair, rebuild trust, own all that back, and you're miserable in the relationship because you go back and heal every, you know, you heal the trust and you bust your butt. You eat shit, as I tell people that betray. They need to eat shit for a while around the trust issues. That doesn't mean they're allowed to be disrespected. No. One sec. And that's where I look at, you know, they go back and say they still don't feel loved. They don't feel desired by their partner. They don't feel respected. And they're, you know, oh, I'm never going to cheat again. I don't want to. I feel very remorseful, very guilty. I sold myself out too. I did something I swore I'd never do. And it happened, okay? But then you go back to a relationship in the marriage and look at, you know what? That I'm still miserable. I still don't feel those things, but now I have to stay because of what I did. I don't want people to be miserable and live a life of agony. I don't want people to live in a situation where they don't feel loved. And again, nothing's perfect, people. A lot of people have this fantasy land they still look at. Oh, if we have one problem, we're going to call it quits because that's not a healthy relationship. No, there's a difference between a healthy relationship and you're going to have problems, right? It's how you work on those together as a team. And a lot of people look at, and I get bashed for, you know, looking at, okay, what caused the affair? Is it genuine remorse and guilt? And I mentioned this on numerous episodes, and a commitment not to cheat again, right? Like I said, but you do all that and you're miserable because your partner still doesn't make you a priority, doesn't make you feel loved, doesn't make you feel desired, respected, although whatever it is, okay? And you're supposed to be okay with that. I say no. So that's where I look at what caused it, and that doesn't justify or condone an affair. I mentioned this numerous times, people. So before I get to the three couples of affair, I want to make sure that you look at, and if you can, share this on your timelines, people, on your pages, on social media. I'm all about helping as many people as possible. And no, because I'm talking about the three couples of affairs and working on healing from an affair or betrayal, you know, you can ask any question regarding dating, love, relationships, marriage, intimacy, sex. And I always do a Q&A. Every show episode is a Q&A. So you can throw out your questions out there and I'll do the best to answer them. And again, it doesn't, you know, replace actual psychotherapy or professional counseling that I do in my office. But I'll give you the best, you know, insights that I can and tools to work with that will help you propel and heal from your relationship or marital challenges, okay, or dating aspects. I'll do the best I can. So please share this and ask any questions you have. And you will be anonymous, even though I might be able to see your name or whatever popped up on social media or in the chat. You'll be anonymous. I respect your privacy, absolutely, and want you to be anonymous. Unless you give me permission to use your name, okay? So looking at, you know, a lot of myths about affairs that come into play that I run into, I already talked about one, right? Or two, once a cheater, always a cheater. That is a myth, okay? Now, there are people, I said, they're habitual cheaters. They're going to cheat no matter what. Women, men, but those are very minute. Those are small percentages, okay? Evidence, you know, statistical base, that's not always the case. I'm going to be honest, okay? And there's a lot of myths out there. So once a cheater, always a cheater. That's a huge myth out there, right? I'm going to be honest. And if there's any professionals out there that want to debate this, that have no clue, or there's professionals in the mental health field out there that are biased as well, and they shouldn't be. They're biased. Maybe they got cheated on. And I've had couples see me over the years where another professional unethically said, told them, oh, you need to leave. Once a cheater, always a cheater. That's a myth. That's bias and that's judgmental. And that therapist does not live your life. You do. Okay. So I get very upset. I'm very protective over couples, over individuals seeking help. Not only that, but I'm very, very, if you want to say, critical of other mental health professionals in the field, because I want what's best for people to heal them, their relationship, their marriage, their own individual life, be it trauma, be it, you know, whatever their anxiety, whatever they're going through, grief challenges, okay? So that's where I look at. I'm very critical. So there's a lot of myths out there. Once a cheater, always a cheater. That's a huge myth. The person cheated on you. That means he or she did not really love you. That's another myth. Okay. Yes. There are those occasions, I'm honest, where that person doesn't love their partner and they're whatever, trying to get out of the relationship or marriage, or they feel stuck, or they feel they don't want to lose the kids, whatever. And that's a whole nother thing we can get into. But most people are looking at they do love their kids. They love their partner. They're just not feeling, you know, loved or desired, appreciated, that type of thing. And another thing that, oh, you cheated on your kids. No, the kids are a separate relationship between mom and the kids, dad and the kids, you get me, versus partners. It's a different type of relationship, okay? So you look at the other situation that, what can we say? That we can talk about, you know, monogamy and what levels of trust and, you know, that type of aspect are. There's a lot of people that are consensual, non-monogamy, right? Poly, open relationships, that type of thing. But we're talking about, you know, when you break outside your rules or boundaries when it comes to those situations, okay? And that's where you have to look at. And there's another myth that, oh, once, say, somebody cheats, that means they're not a good parent. That's a myth too. You can still be a great parent and maybe not a great partner or spouse, that type of situation. Okay. So again, please throw out your questions, your comments, anything I can help you with and answer regarding marriage, life, cheating, affairs, intimacy, that type of thing, anything I can do. Okay. So when you come down to, I want you to realize the myths and, you know, the realities that, yes, it's devastating. It just, you know, sort of explodes all expectations of growing old together, right? And it's hurtful. It's devastating. I get it. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying it can be repaired. Trust can be built back up if that's what both people desire and want. Okay, so now going into the questions of care and concern, or I'm sorry, the three couples of affairs. It's been a long day, so I apologize. The questions of care and concern are great at building emotional intimacy. And those are, you know, asking, hey, what were you feeling that led you to cheat? Not excusing, not condoning it. You know, what could I have done to maybe prevent you from cheating? This is taking accountability for both partners, right? And a lot of people will bash, and I get accused of victim blaming. I don't victim blame. You heard me talk about, as I move my mic, you heard me talk about, I don't excuse, I don't condone cheating. Not at all. I look at what I can do to heal it and, you know, heal what was going on in a relationship, marriage, or individually that caused that person to cheat. So we look at taking accountability, taking responsibility, and looking at connecting with the person that was betrayed, the devastation, the hurt, the pain, the, you know, just expectations getting blown up, that, you know, not being able to trust again, thinking they're lying all the time. All that stuff is very devastating and it's frustrating for them and connecting with that pain, right? That needs to be there. So the three couples of affair, and I talk about with, you know, couples on a daily basis in my office that I deal with infidelity issues, that I look at, you know, are you a prisoner warden situation? That's the first couple I'm going to talk about when it comes to a couple of affair betrayal. Prisoner warden means that, let's face it, the one that cheated or betrayed, they're the prisoner and the other partner is the warden. You get me? So what this means is forever and ever that prisoner, the one that cheated, is going to be the prisoner for the rest of their life together, if they stay together. And the one that was betrayed, they're going to be the warden for the rest of that relationship, marriage, or their life together, if it lasts, okay? So the prisoner warden is usually the one feels so guilty, I need to eat this. I need to, you know, pay my consequences. I need to pay my prison term for the rest of my life. This is very unhealthy, obviously, right? And how many people want to be in this situation? It's not healthy, right? So a lot of people, the warden always remembers the prisoner, you know, you've done this, you cheated, you betrayed me. And all of a sudden, the prisoner doesn't have the right to feel hurt, mad, upset, frustrated, right? Because they're the prisoner. They don't deserve any rights at all. That's not fair. That's not being humane. That's not being compassionate. And it's very unhealthy, right? So the prisoner ends up losing their self-love, their self-respect, because the warden, you know what, took it away, or it was given away by the prisoner. So it's a constant reminder. They're going to bash. They're going to throw it in your face forever and ever. Oh, you cheated. You did this. So, oh, you don't have a right to feel this way because you cheated on me. And this could go on for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. So think about this if that's what you want. And the warden typically, unethically, unhealthily, sorry, hit a dry spot in my throat. Sorry, people. Like my throat's going through puberty again. Excuse me. So the warden will also bring in family members, the kids, to also punish the prisoner. It's a very toxic, very unhealthy dynamic. And the warden wants everybody to continue to feel sorry for him or her that they got cheated on, they played a victim role, and I'm going to punish you for the rest of your life for what you did. And they don't look at the warden typically, nor does a prisoner try to command this. The warden will never look at their role in what caused the affair, right? They could do whatever they want, but that person still shouldn't have cheated. I get that. I understand that. But they're not looking at, man, what did I do to cause my partner to want to cheat on me, right? They're so hurt, devastated, or they're arrogant enough that, you know what? I didn't do anything to cause this. Not at all. In most cases, like I said about myths, most cases, that's untrue. That's a huge myth. So I'm all about this situation, the warden prisoner. What I try to do is get that warden to understand and try to humble enough. And I get it's devastating. Trying to connect, I get it's hard for you. I get it's devastating. And you deserve, you know, to feel what you feel. Absolutely. But is it a lot of work being the warden? You know, does it keep you safe? Does it keep you feeling that you're in power and protected, not like you were before? So we need to go after, I go after, you know, trying to get humility, going after the hurt and the pain to break through that. But if that warden is arrogant enough, that might not happen. And that dynamic, you know, if it lasts and you're that prisoner warden situation, it's very unhealthy. And you have to look at, well, do I want to remain in this situation? Okay. And we have to remember, I'm honest. Okay. Everybody says, you know, there's been a huge myth about men cheating versus women cheating, right? Differentiation between 30% was what was norm or projected, right? Men cheat 30% more than women do. That's a myth too. The actual stats are right close. And this is subjective. It's right around 5% differentiation, which means just as many women are cheating or very close to men nowadays. Okay. So the myth is, oh, men are dogs. Men always cheat. That's a myth. And women never cheat. That's a myth, a huge myth. But we have to look at what is going on, what's causing it. And is monogamy realistic? And is monogamy what you really want? Okay. So, and I'm not saying I'm monogamous, I'm one-on-one, that's me, who I am, but I work with all kinds of lifestyles, okay? No judgment, I'm sex positive, but it's when the devastation hits of an affair or betrayal, when one steps outside the rules or boundaries, what you have aligned for your relationship or your marriage, okay? So the prisoner warden situation is not really, let's face it, it's miserable. It's a power dynamic and it's not healthy. And a prisoner will say, well, I need to, you know, take accountability and pay my penance and take my consequences. Yes, you have to take consequences to earn that trust back. But that doesn't mean you have to serve a life sentence for it. And a lot of people will feel guilty and shame and obligated. Yep, I did this, so I need to pay consequences in my prison term for the rest of my life for cheating. That's an unhealthy dynamic, okay? The second aspect of couples of affairs are either, I call them the ignorers, or they're dismissive, right? And this is where I get a couple coming into my office one time, okay? She cheated, he cheated. And in my office, you know, there's a lot of remorse, a lot of a guilt and shame for cheating. I get that. And the other one, oh, I'm sorry if I caused you, you know, to want to cheat or I didn't make you feel loved. Great. That's terrific. We get there. And then the next day, it's like it never happened. You get me? So these are, they dismiss. They're ignorers. They totally ignore what was going on it like nothing happened. Okay. They might blow up and all that. They come together, love each other. And then next day, like it never happened, never existed. I tell people, you know what? You're going to think this, and I hope not, but I'm telling you what usually happens. If it's not fully healed, that trust is not rebuilt and earned back. And looking at what is going on, it's going to blow up in your face, and it's going to hit you a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road. I get people, you know, I get a call, you know, one session, and Greg, thank you. We're all healed now. And terrific. We're great. And I'm shaking my head because I know the reality and the percentages. I'll get a phone call a couple months later. Greg, we need to come back. We thought we were good. And then what happens is that the triggers hit, right? You watch a movie where there's someone having an affair, cheated. You hear it in a song, right? A friend you heard cheated or found out her, you know, partner cheated, his partner cheated. And it triggers you. And all this comes back because it's not fully healed. Okay. So a lot of people will immediately, they'll blow up and might fight and argue. And then the next day, like it never happened. And these are things that you look at, it'll come up periodically from now on until it's healed. Okay. And chances are it will never fully heal because they'll blow up, fight about it, make up, and then like it never happened again. So that is also not healthy to have that dynamic. It's healthier, if you want to call it that, healthier than the prisoner warden dynamic, because that's a constant day in, day out, mostly of reminding the prisoner of what they did. Not healthy, okay? That doesn't promote healing. The ignorers, the dismissive couple, they ignore the healing, but they don't hold power over the other one. It's like it never happened. We're great. Everything's terrific. But it fully doesn't heal and get to the root of what caused the cheating to begin with and what is needed to rebuild that trust back and to promote self-love and self-respect and try to get at the root of the issues. It's like, oh, we never had any problems to begin with, and it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. Honestly, okay? So what I look at, the third one is what I deem the healthy ones, okay? These are the ones I call them, they're the brave ones, obviously, and they're healers, I call them, because they're looking at healing the relationship. Both of them are taking accountability for their role in what was going on in a relationship, possibly the cause that person to cheat. Again, never condone, never justify. Whatever happens in the relationship or marriage doesn't justify or give that person the right to go out and cheat. Remember that. But the healers and the brave ones are going to look at what was going on in the relationship, meaning, you know, were we making that person that cheated? Were we making each other feeling loved, respected, desired? A lot of people will look at that. You know, they have a kid and we're going to be great. We have two kids. And all of a sudden, all the attention, like I mentioned on numerous episodes, goes to the kid. And what happens is that one parent feels exposed of, not important, not desired. And you need to be okay with that because we have kids now. So you need to be okay with that. And I'm like, what? Who told you that? No, number one, you don't need to be okay with that. Not at all. Understanding, patience, yes. But you don't have to live that way. And number two, because you feel that way, that didn't give you a right to cheat. Were you able to speak about it, talk about it, and to be able to look at, hey, what do we do to make our relationship, marriage, important and crucial and a priority, even though we have kids, okay? So the brave ones, the healers, are the ones to explore the root of the issues, right? They want to heal, earn the trust back, do the work, and understand what is needed to heal the relationship again. The one that did the cheating and betraying, what are they willing to do to earn trust back, right? And I said, they need to eat shit to earn that trust back. That doesn't mean they're allowed to be disrespected, and that doesn't mean they eat crow on everything. It's around the trust aspect. So it could be, you know what, I need you to share my location. And they're like, no problem. I get it. I understand. You get me? Instead of, oh my God, I'm not sharing, they fight and they, you know, because I have ego and pride and I'm not losing my power. You can still maintain your power and self-love and self-respect, but you need to earn that trust back. So the brave ones, the ones that I call healers, they're the ones that are willing to earn that trust back, both of them. But both of them are able to look at, hey, you know what? What can I do to be a better partner so you don't want to cheat? Right? Doesn't justify it, doesn't condone. I know I repeat myself, but it's so crucial. And I've had people over a lot of years try to take me out of context and say, I blame the victim. Not at all. Or, oh, Greg condones cheating. No, I don't. I'm not into getting taken out of context with inappropriate or incomplete sound bites. Okay. So you look at exploring what was going on in a relationship, what was going on in the marriage. Were you feeling disconnected, ignored, you know, fighting all the time? What was going on that we can go and recertify our relationship? We recommit to our relationship or marriage to earn trust back. We know it's not going to happen again, but not only that we can be healthy and happy together again. And that, you know, cheating might not ever be forgotten, okay? But I want it in the back of the mind, I tell people, not always in the forefront. And looking at where, hey, I don't have to worry about her cheating on me again. I don't have to worry about him cheating on me again because he's doing this, he's doing that. We're insuring each other. We're feeling connected. We're communicating better. We're not getting so defensive with one another. These things are in place, and the brave ones and the healers are the ones that work together and rebuild trust. And believe it or not, 80% of the people I work with that have cheated or had an affair, 80%, I'm able to help them become healers and the brave ones to work on and heal the relationship and marriage and to be more connected, have more trust, more open communication. They're able to be more open and vulnerable with each other and a lot more where they want to be, even stronger than they ever have been before. And a lot of times I tell people that cheating or an affair is like, what do I want to say? It's almost like an addict, okay? And I'm not bashing or shaming, not at all. But it's almost like you hear an addict hitting rock bottom, right? Before they reach out and get help. And almost like an affair, and I don't recommend it, like I said, is almost like the relationship or affair hitting rock bottom. It's almost like the relationship or marriage has been horrible for years. And then finally, one of them files divorce, and all of a sudden, it's the wake-up call. So the divorce papers can be like that rock bottom. Okay, what can we do to fix it? And sometimes too little, too late, right? And I don't want the divorce papers or someone to cheat before people reach out and get help and look at what do we do? You know, I'm not happy. Our relationship is not where we want it to be. What can we do to seek professional help? To be able to communicate better, to understand each other better, to put ourselves in each other's shoes, and to understand how we're impacting each other and show each other that we care and understand, and what can we do as a team instead of fight each other, instead of blame each other, right? That's what I want to do and help you with that situation, okay? So remember, look at how do you want to be. And this could be for any type of betrayal, not just cheating, okay? Do you want to be the prisoner warden? Think about that, okay? People might love to be the warden. I got control. No, control freaks, no, they're not healthy, okay? So do you want to be the prisoner warden? Do you want to be the ignorer, the dismissive one, like, oh, we blow up, everything's fine now, without fully healing and doing the work so you fully heal instead of it coming back now and then, biting you in the booty and blowing up in your face by triggers, by different signs. And then it's a rinse and repeat and never fully heals. And you continue that way for the rest of your life. Or do you and your partner want to be healers? Do you want to be the brave ones to look at both of your roles and what was going on, that you work as a team to heal it? And again, that doesn't mean it's justified that someone betrayed you, or, you know what, never condone, but to look at what is going on. And the partner that did cheat and betray, they need to eat crap for a while to show genuine remorse and guilt and earn that trust back. Not because they got caught, because of the pain they inflicted. And that's the big difference with genuine remorse and guilt, right? It's not because you got caught. Oh, I'm sorry. It's because of the pain you inflicted on your partner. And the brave ones and healers will look at that, and they will make sure that's in place. Okay? So check out my relationship website, I should say, theartofrelationships.org. And I am running a special starting tomorrow, February 1st, for Valentine's Day, right? So for Valentine's Day, I'm running a special on my courses, 70% off. They're cheap, people. So I have Healing from an Affair, exactly what I'm talking about today. Healing from an Affair, 28 days to revive your relationship if it's on the rocks and you're fighting all the time. And also, I have a premarital course to try to prevent this from happening, so you can have set yourself up for that great relationship or marriage that you've always wanted. They're 70% off, very, very cheap, reasonable, people, very reasonable. So check out theartofrelationships.org, go to courses, and you'll see them on there. And that sale is starting tomorrow, February 1st through February 20th, okay, to represent Valentine's Day. And as people I've always talked about for years and years, it's not just Valentine's Day, but can you show your love and appreciation for one another every day of the year, okay? So again, theartofrelationships.org is my website. Check out the Art of Relationships show every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And please like, follow me, subscribe to me on YouTube, all other social media platforms under Love Guru Greg, okay? And again, I apologize for tripping over my tongue today. Peace and love, everybody out there. Much love, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.